So I guess you may ask the question, why are we taking part of our Sunday morning service, because we've never done this before, and actually do an outreach on a Sunday? Well, there are lots of reasons why, but I want to highlight kind of two reasons. Number one, my hope and prayer is that every single person that sees us outside today, inside our apartment community, or just people who are driving by, that they will know that God loves them more than they can even imagine. And that they would see that through us, because we're the hands and feet of Jesus. It's not like Jesus, I mean, he could if he wanted to, but it's not like Jesus is going to come down and appear and begin to love on people. What I've learned is that he loves us, and so through us, we then love on them. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds, and they end up glorifying your Father in heaven. So that's the first reason. I want to make sure that everyone knows just how much God loves them. And to be honest, one of the reasons why I want to do it is because I want to continue to change the culture and really the purpose of FCA to not be just a church who does a good job of taking care of the needs on the inside of the four walls, but we have just as much passion and conviction and love for those outside the four walls. And that's not just something that happens overnight. I really do believe that Faith Christian Assembly as a family, we really do take care of each other well. Really, for those who've invested in relationships here, I believe you're actually well taken care of. For those who have taken the time, and it takes time, it's not something that you can just do on a Sunday morning. It's not something that, you know, you can take either 5 minutes before or maybe spend a few minutes after service and quickly get to know people. That's not enough to develop a relationship. It's not. But for those who have joined small groups or gotten involved in different ministries, you've caught it. And what I've learned is for those who really have been involved at that level, you get taken care of. Why? Because other people know you and they know your needs. And I don't even ever have to find out, because usually the needs are already taken care of. But you know what I've learned is that relationship, it's two-way. Have you noticed that? You can reach out to someone as much as you possibly can, but unless they reach back to you, it ain't going anywhere, is it? Have you noticed that? That you've reached out to some and they don't reach back? That relationship doesn't grow then, does it? But see, I know that taking time on a Sunday, for some of you, that's new. And matter of fact, for some of you, it may have kind of bothered you a little bit. I mean, Pastor, wait a minute. We're working on a Sunday. The Sunday is a Sabbath day. Aren't we not supposed to work? I mean, so last thing I want to do is confuse you. Last thing I want to do is really upset you or add stress to your life. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at a portion of Scripture, and it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the main character in this story. He's the one that we're going to focus on. And not only will I think it will show you a different perspective when it comes to Sabbath day, but it'll also show you that what we're going to be doing today, not only is it good, but it actually has the potential to open people up to receive a miracle that if we weren't willing to do it, they never would have got. So why don't you turn with me in your Bibles? I will have, obviously, the Scriptures behind me as well, but you can turn with me to Luke chapter 13. We're going to be camped there for this morning. Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read, I'll read verse 10 to 17. So I'll read that whole group, and then we'll just kind of look at some of the verses in particular. So starting in verse 10, it says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your disability.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, 'There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day.' Then the Lord answered him, 'You hypocrites, Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And as he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were being done by him. Now, let me give you some observations. Let me just point out a few things. Number one, we have to see the need in order to meet the need. You actually have to see the need in order to meet the need. It's interesting because during this portion of scripture that we just read, Jesus is in the synagogue. Believe it or not, he's working. He's preaching in the synagogue. And for those who don't think preaching is work, you've never done it before. I'm going to be honest with you. You've just never done it before. It actually is. It's a good amount of work. But see, what he was preaching, though, something caught his eye. As a matter of fact, it probably was the Holy Spirit inside him. Yes, Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him. When he got baptized, remember, that did happen. And something caught his eye. He saw something. Matter of fact, we saw that in verse 12. It says, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. Now, if Jesus didn't see the need, he wouldn't have called her over and he wouldn't have healed her. So when I thought of that, it kind of made me think of a few things. Well, you can't see the need if your eyes are closed. Doesn't that sound almost oversimplistic? I mean, it's like, well, duh, pastor. But I mean, let's be honest. The truth is, as many times we don't see the need is because we're not looking around for them. So to be honest, my hope is today can be a wake-up call. Wake up. Look around. See the needs that are out there. We were just out praying yesterday. Just before on Saturday evenings, usually the last Saturday of the month, we have like prayer time as a family. And you know what? I'm walking around. And the interesting thing is, when you're walking around and you're looking, you see a lot of things. So I'm seeing sticks that are just all over the place. I see little pieces of garbage and other things. And so you know what I'm doing? When I'm walking around looking, you actually see the need. So I'm picking stuff up, throwing the sticks away. See, but you have to have your eyes open in order to see the need. You also can't see the need if your eyes are on yourself or on the work that you're doing. Have you noticed that? I mean, if all we do is just look at ourselves, or, you know, we just focus on the work that we're doing, you don't see needs around you. I know you're thinking, well, pastor, that's obvious, but how many needs do we miss because we're self-focused? And some of you may say, pastor, I don't work for me. I work for my family. But if the objective in life is to work or to take care of yourself, when we're taught, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added, that God promised to take care of our needs if we take care of the needs of others. I also learned, too, that you quickly see needs if you're actively looking for them. Have you noticed that? If you're looking for ways to help, you can always find them. Have you noticed? I'm telling you, when you actually change your lifestyle to the point where you're looking to try to help other people, there are so many needs out there. There are needs all over the place. And so often, because we're so me-focused or plan-focused, we don't allow ourselves just to be open to the Holy Spirit to point and say, you see that need? You see that need? Because the Bible says, you know, if you see a brother in need, you know, and you don't, you know, but how many times we don't even get to that first step. We never even see the need. But see, when we open our eyes and we become actively looking for ways that we can help people, God will open door after door for us to do that. Now, my second observation is when we meet the need, it's interesting that even Jesus does this. If we point people to the source of the miracle, they end up glorifying God and not us. 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. And she wasn't glorifying Jesus. She literally was glorifying God the Father. In her mind, I just got healed. This was a miracle from God, and so I'm worshiping God. I'm telling you this. God is not looking for more nice people that do nice things for people. He really isn't. You know why? The world's full of them. The world is full of people who, in their minds, they do nice charitable things for people. Do not take this the wrong way. I'm not banging on these organizations at all, because I love the fact that they're doing nice things. I mean, you have Habitat for Humanity. There's like the United Way. There's a lot of organizations that their hope and their goal, their focus is to try to help people. That's really what they're trying to do. But their goal is not to do those things and point people to Jesus. It's not. And if they look, their goal, whether they're willing to admit it or not, they do it because it makes them feel good. They go home thinking, wow, we accomplished it. Now, is that wrong in of itself? No. I mean, it's great to do good things, but you know what? You don't have the power to help anyone. You don't have the power to heal. You don't have the power to save. Only God can do that. He's the only one. And so you know what? We need to turn our focus away from us and instead put it on the one who can do all the miracles. Number three, some people demand that God do things their way, even if it means no one gets a miracle. It boggled my mind when I read this verse. Verse 14, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, look, there's 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be healed and not on the Sabbath day. We laugh at that, but you know what? There are so many people who will, because for their own mindset, they refuse to follow what God wants and they have to have things done their way. God, I'm praying for this person, so you will do this at this time, and unless you do it this way, I don't want to be involved. I mean, I don't know. Now, we need the Holy Spirit inside of us. We need the Holy Spirit that's telling us, giving us wisdom, directing us to the right people, the right time. Because obviously, if there was someone who needed the Holy Spirit inside of him, it was the leader of the synagogue. Now, the only thing I want you to be careful of, I don't want you to take, sometimes people take things to an extreme on either side. Now, I don't want you to take the opposite and use this as justification for you to do anything that you want. Have you ever met someone who all they've got to do to get you to not talk them out of doing something is say, God told me to do it? Don't take it to the opposite side. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, throwing out a trump card that says, God told me to do it is silly because it's still selfish. Because what you're saying is I want to do it my way and I don't want to be teachable by anyone. So look, we need the power of the Holy Spirit inside us directing us to the right things to do. And you know what? God will sometimes ask you to do things that are unpopular, that are inconvenient, that are not comfortable. But you know what? I serve the Prince of Peace. I serve God who said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so if what you're doing isn't doing peaceable things, then you know what? Change. Because I really highly doubt that the Holy Spirit is asking you to be a thorn in people's flesh. When you are outside serving people, it should bring the character of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if it's not doing those things, you know what? That's when you need to ask and say, you know what? I may have totally misguided. I want everything that we do outside these four walls to amplify the character of the Holy Spirit. Does that mean that God sometimes doesn't cause us to do something different? He does. But I'm telling you, that tends to be more of the rare occasion. God wants us to live at peace with people. He does. Now, the interesting thing is, too, is that our flesh focuses on what we want, no matter how inconvenient it might be. Have you noticed that? I can promise you this, that some of you will have zero desire to leave this sanctuary, go and pick up a trash bag, and go out and clean up a neighborhood. You're going to be like, Pastor, have you seen my yard? Have you seen my home? My home's a mess. So you know what? Send the people to my house. I'll put them to work. Some of you may say, really, some of you are not thinking, man, I cannot wait to leave here and go down and wash someone's car. Some of you are like, Pastor, do you have any idea how long it's been since my car's been washed? My car hasn't been washed in years. Some of you are like, man, a prayer tent? Pastor, I need prayer. Why? You know what? Can I be the first in line and they can just pray over me? Some of you are like handing out cold water? Actually, I'm kind of thirsty, Pastor. Why don't you give me some cold water? See, we become so me-centric. We become so, you know, we only want to do things that are easy. See, people like outreaches that are on evenings when they have nothing else going on. People like outreaches on Saturdays when I have zero other plans and, well, perfect, Pastor, I'll go to that. Pastor, Sunday? No, Sunday's me day. Sunday is I come to church and I get blessed day. Sunday is I've worked a full work week and I'm got to work tomorrow on Monday. So to be honest, Pastor, you just have a service. Bless me for a while. I'll leave here full and hopefully that's enough to get me through one more week. That's a lot of people approach church that way. But what we're trying to do is understand the fact that it's not about us. It's about those that God has called us to serve. See, I love the fact that Jesus focuses on what other people want, no matter how much it inconvenienced him. I mean, look, and that was always Jesus' focus all throughout his ministry. It really didn't matter how much it inconvenienced him. I mean, he saw the need, he met the need, and then he took a bunch of flack for actually meeting a need. I mean, it boggles my mind that someone who had been, that people knew, had been living that life for 18 years, Jesus sees them, heals them, and then they're upset at him. That just, wouldn't it have been easier for him to just, you know, keep working, just preach, finish the sermon, go home and take a rest? That would have been easier for him, right? He wouldn't have had to deal with all the flack. But see, Jesus is, you know, he's in it to the end. He's in it till death. See, nothing stopped him. As long as he thought that he could make a change, make a difference in someone, he did it all the way. And that's who we're trying to become like, right? Jesus modeled that for us, so shouldn't we be doing the same? I love this scripture in 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18. It says, if you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. My children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. And that's really what this morning is all about. It's our time to shine. It's, look, I hope you brought your sunglasses. You'll be outside. My wife brought my sunscreen so I don't burn like a crisp, which I normally do when it's sunny outside. I hope you, if you didn't bring shorts, I'm sorry, you should have. I warned you. I said, I even gave you permission. Wear shorts to church today. I got mine on. I got sneakers on. I'm ready. This is our opportunity to go out there and let people know that God loves them. Look, what we're saying is that usually this is sacred time, right? We're in church. I mean, look, in my estimation, I do not miss church. Now you're like, well, you're the pastor. You know, well, of course you're not supposed to miss church. Well, guess what? Even when I wasn't pastor, we did not miss church. We didn't. Matter of fact, even when we're on vacation, we're still in the church. We just, Sundays, we're church. So you know what I'm saying? It's so important for us to shine the love of Jesus out there that I'm willing to take out what I think is the most important. I'm giving part of my sermon away because I think it is so important for us to be outside changing the culture and even in our own mind of what is the most valuable thing. Look, you can read your Bible. You can get to small groups. You have other ways of getting fed. Now it's time for us to get up and go outside and let other people know just how valuable they are. They were worth dying for. So when we say, no, Sunday, I give that, God, to you. It's like I said, as I opened us in a word of prayer, it's time for us to not just have church. It's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to stop just talking about how much God loves you. It's time for us to show people how much God loves them. Words are easy, aren't they? God bless you. I'll pray for you. I hope you get better. It's a lot more different than, I'll take you to the hospital, I'll make you the food, you need money, I'm not going to pray for your need, here's a financial blessing for you. That's so much different, isn't it? Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. So you know what? I don't want a dead church. I want a live church. Now, are there some people who aren't here today because they knew that we were going to be doing this? Probably. This is not going to be the first outreach service that we do. I already have two more in my mind that I want to be able to do in order to reach out and touch those. Remember last year when we did it was a Halloween outreach where they do like give the candy giveaway out on Main Street in Middletown? Well, that's going to be on a Saturday. Do you have any idea how many candy wrappers are going to be out on Main Street after that? Do you have any idea? The place is probably going to be flooded with candy wrappers. Well, guess what we're going to do that Sunday right after the big candy giveaway? Yep, we'll have our trash bags. We're going to set up shop, and we're going to let people know that there are people who love them. They're going to let them know that there is a God who cares more for them than even they may even care for themselves. Look, in the middle of December, I haven't even figured out what we're going to do, but halfway through our Christmas time, I want to have an outreach service where we can go to some place and shine the love of Jesus in an effective way. If that means we're going Christmas caroling where Muriel is located to the elderly center, and we have a mini service there after we have a mini service here, and we shine the love of Jesus to people who can't leave but really want to know that God loves them. Look, shouldn't we be reaching them? They're close to being, their eternity is close, right? They're not going to be here much longer. So wouldn't that be cool to kind of, we haven't even figured out what to do yet. Matter of fact, if God puts a God idea in you of how we can serve our community, let me know, because we need to do it. We need to go. Will that bother some people? Yes. But you know what? I want a church that loves people more than they love themselves. I want a people who understand the fact that this world is not our home, that we were bought with a price, and our time here is limited. So we better take advantage of the time we have and get out and serve our people. They're our family. They just don't know it yet. They're our adopted brothers and sisters that just, they just haven't been told yet. And we need to go out there and let them know just how much God loves them. Amen? So stand with me this morning. Look, before we go outside, I want to pray. Because some of us may need to ask God to literally forgive us for just for being selfish. Because in our minds, we don't want to do this. All right, pastor, I'll let you do once, but if you ever do this again, I'm not coming to that service. You're right. Some of you may love me enough where you came for one. Or some of you may just be like, you know, it's a battle inside you of when God calls you to serve, well, you don't want to because there's that draw of self in there. To some of you, you know, you may need God to remind you just how blessed you are. Because some of you are like, you know, pastor, my car could use a wash. My house could use a cleaning. You're blessed. You have more than enough. Pastor, you haven't seen my bank account. You have more than enough. God loves you and is taking care of you. It may not be in your time, maybe you can trust the fact that God knows what he's doing. And some of you may need to just put more of God inside of you so you have the Holy Spirit there directing you and telling you what you need to do. So let's pray, and then it's time to get to work.